Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been following the teaching of Jesus in the treasury area of the temple and discovering the meaning of his controversial statement that declared that he was the light of the world. So let's pick up in John chapter 8, verse 12, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Now, we're talking about the influence of Christianity upon the world, but remember, the reason Christianity has influenced the world is because Christ has influenced individuals. This isn't some, you know, political system or some philosophical system that you just go implement into a culture somewhere and it turns the culture into a wonderful place. That's not what we're talking about. There is no such thing. The Marxists thought that that would be what would happen when they applied their theories to the various cultures that they got power in. They sought to bring in utopia. They believed that they could create paradise on earth. What did they end up creating? They created the exact opposite of what they thought they were going to create. It's amazing. But you see, Jesus, he impacts the individual life. He changes men's hearts. He turns them into different people. He turns them into people like himself who love and who are compassionate and who are selfless and who want to give themselves in service for others. That's how the influence of Christianity has spread and impacted the world, because Jesus has touched and still is touching one life at a time. And what is he doing? He's bringing people out of darkness. There is a place in London called Speaker's Corner. And over the years, it's been a place where people have gone and get up on their soapbox and they speak about whatever they are passionate about. But years and years ago, back in the early 20th century in Britain, when communism was gaining a foothold all over that region, there was a rally at Speaker's Corner on a particular day, and the communists were there, and they were making all of these grandiose promises that if Britain would embrace Marxism, then these would be the benefits. And one of the things that they stated was that they would put a new suit on every man in Britain. The Christian preacher got up afterward, and I love his response to their promise. They promised to put a new suit on every man in Britain. The Christian said, "We promise to put a new man in every suit in Britain." That's a better deal, I think. You can have a new suit, but if you got a rotten guy in it, it doesn't do any good. And so that's what Jesus Christ does. He changes the hearts of people. He touches a person in their heart and he draws them out of the darkness. And how we've seen that over and over and over again. People living in darkness, the darkness of all sorts of sin, and the darkness that brings destruction to lives personally, to families, to communities. What's the problem? The world is steeped in darkness. And all you have to do is just watch the news. It is unbelievable, the stuff that's going on today. These senseless murders taking place. These drive-by killings. And you look at this and you think, well, you know, what kind of insanity is this? How do we deal with this? And of course, the gospel is the answer. Christians have the answer. But you know, if the Christians mobilized and decided to go into a community and try to do something about it, you would get all kinds of government agencies saying, no, don't, we don't want to do that. We can't bring religion in here. Separation of church and state. No, no, no. We don't want these people to get religion. What are they thinking? Their solutions obviously don't work, because they've been applying them for decades and they haven't done anything. Things have gone from bad to worse. The answer to these things is the gospel. Because the problem is darkness. People are in darkness. And they need to come out of the darkness. They need to come into the light. But people continue to just follow on with the, you know, philosophies and theories and things that can never help them, can never deliver them. My daughter was watching a talk show this week, and there was an actress that was being interviewed, and evidently she had been on the program in the past, and she had told her story about going through her divorce and all of this. And the host of the program was telling her, you know, what a great benefit that she had been to so many of the viewers. And she had some letters that she was reading to her. You know, this lady wrote and said, oh, when you talked about your divorce, it helped me so much. And but this thought crossed my mind. Now, here is a classic example of what Jesus told us. If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall in a ditch. And here I'm thinking, you know, here's this woman and she's just talking about how she survived her divorce and how she, you know, she loves her job and her job's been so wonderful to her. She's an actress. She makes millions of dollars and all of this. And then you got these poor ladies, you know, probably, you know, single moms or whatever, probably broke, maybe even living on welfare. And they're looking to this woman for help and for resources and for encouragement. And you just think, how sad. It's the blind leading the blind. Where are they going to go? They're going to fall into a ditch. Walking in darkness, what happens to people if they walk in the darkness without a light? They trip, they stumble, they fall into a pit. But Jesus says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. That is the wonderful promise. If we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but they shall have the light of life. Having the light of life. Oh, have you ever been in a dark, dark situation, literally physical darkness? You know how that is, where you can't see a thing. You can't see anything even a few inches in front of you. That is a frightening situation to be in. And oh, how thankful you are when somebody suddenly comes up with maybe a little flashlight or something, just to have a little bit of light, to get some idea of where you're going or what you're doing. Well, Jesus promises for those who follow him, those who believe in him, that we will have the light of life. We have a built-in light. It's him. And he comes and takes up residence in our life. That's why Jesus would say to his followers, on another occasion, he would say to them, you are the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world, but he says, you are the light of the world. And that is because as he shines upon us, we are reflecting his glory to the world around us. But this promise is a wonderful promise. It's a twofold promise that he's going to bring us out of the darkness. We're not going to remain in it. And that not only is he going to take us out of the darkness, but he's going to give us the light of life. Now, the world is a dark place, as we've mentioned, and as you well know. How do we navigate this world? How do we make our way through this dark world? You need a light. And that light is Jesus Christ. And when he comes into a person's life, as we've said, He takes you out of darkness. He changes your life, and then he gives you the light of life. So now you know where you're going. You know how to walk. You know how to live. You know what to avoid. You know the things that are dangerous. You know the things that are detrimental. You know the things that are destructive, deadly. You know those things because you've got that light in you. And so you can walk through this dark world, but you're not stumbling. You're not being tripped up. You're not falling into a ditch or into a pit, but people all around you are. But you're not, because you have the light of life. Now, the thing that is perplexing is to find Christians who, by their very nature, are not to be walking in darkness and are to have the light of life, to find Christians sort of, you know, out on a detour into the darkness and not shining the light, not utilizing the light of life. It's not that they don't have it, but, you know, it's as though some of them have just decided, you know, I don't really need this light right now. I think I'll turn it off. I think I'll just put it away for a time. I think I can navigate this myself. I think I can make it. I think I'm going to be okay. How do we have those kinds of situations? These are the puzzling things and the troubling things that have happened throughout the history of the church and still happen today. When we talk about the great influence of Christianity on the world, we can also talk about some of the negative impact that has occurred through people who claim to be Christians, claim to have the light, but yet evidently didn't really have it. Or if they did have it, they didn't shine it because they ended up in the darkness and actually creating more darkness in a sense. But the promise is that we will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. That is a promise. That is an absolute certainty. That isn't something that just works for some. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, I tried Jesus. I tried that Christian thing. It didn't work for me. If it didn't work for you, you didn't have it. That's the reality. You had maybe something that resembled it, but it was some sort of an imitation. You didn't really have it, because you can't have it and not have it work, because it is not an it. It is a him. It's he. It's God. When you have God in your life, God works. He doesn't not work. And so for those that have had that sort of mentality or maybe that kind of experience, realize that you must have had an imitation of some sort. You didn't have the real thing. You couldn't have had the real thing, or you didn't embrace it for what it really was. Maybe you had misconception. There are so many messages going out from pulpits today that are not really biblically rooted. You know, the Bible is primarily about God and about God's plan, about God's work, God's son, God's will, those things. But in so many churches today, you know, the message from the pulpit is it's all about man. It's man-centered, and what man thinks and how man feels and what man likes and what he dislikes and what he wants to hear and doesn't want to hear and how to benefit himself and, you know, these different areas and all. That is so dominant in so many pulpits today. And subsequently, you've got all of these people out there who are ostensibly following Jesus because they're going to a church and there's a guy in a pulpit and he's got a Bible and he's telling them these things, but he's not really giving the right message. And so they're taking these principles and they're taking the different theories and ideas that are being put forth, and they're applying them to life, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And after a while they say, well, you know, this isn't working for me, and so off I go. And then finally you run into them down the road and they say, yeah, I tried that Christian thing, it didn't work. But see, they had a substitute. They had a counterfeit. They had something that wasn't real. Because we are talking here about the Lord God himself, who says, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me, he who believes in me, he who trusts in me, he who commits himself or herself to me shall not walk in darkness. It's a promise. Shall not walk in darkness. If you're walking in darkness, you're not following Jesus. It's as simple as that. Because Jesus doesn't walk in darkness. He certainly doesn't lead anybody into darkness. So if you're in darkness and you think you're following him, you're deceived. Now, I do meet people that tell me that Jesus is leading them into darkness. Now, they don't use that terminology, of course. And when I point out to them that that's what they're telling me, they get upset at me. But I have had people come and basically tell me, you know, the Lord has told me that I can go off and do this, that, or the other thing. Things that he has clearly forbidden in his word. How can it be? Well, you know, as human beings, we have powers of persuasion. And if we work hard enough at it, we can persuade ourselves that we are the exception to the rule and that God is going to bend the rules for us. He's got a special dispensation for us, and we can do things that the average person isn't allowed to do. And again, I've had people tell me pretty much that kind of thing. Yeah, I know the Lord, I know what he said about that, but you see, my situation is different. And I've been praying about it. And I've been seeking God. And, you know, God is, you know, he's with me. He feels as sorry for me as I do for myself. But, you know, it's just not true. It's not reality. Because Jesus, he leads people out of darkness, not into darkness. And when you follow him, you have the light of life. And his word is that lamp unto our feet, that light unto our path. And he's spoken to us clearly, and he's told us how to live. He's told us what to do. He's told us what not to do. He's told us what we're to involve ourselves in. He's told us what we are to disconnect ourselves from. And as we follow him, he instructs us, but he also empowers us to live in a way that will glorify him. But you see, again, this is a personal thing. It is a personal thing. We should never think of the Christian faith primarily in terms of collectivism, a collective thing. There isn't a collective aspect to it. We talk about the church. We're talking about something collective. We're talking about lots of people that make up one thing. But we always have to understand true biblical Christianity in terms of individuality, not collectivism primarily. Because it's about the individual soul connecting with the living God. It's about each one of us personally coming to know him and being delivered by him from the power of sin and being brought into that relationship with him. And that alone makes the collective testimony powerful. But when we start thinking in terms of collectivism, we miss the whole point of why Jesus came into the world. This was the great mistake that was made in Europe back in the Reformation period. Many of the reformers, as they were preaching the message to the various rulers, the kings, the different landowners and so forth throughout Europe, they would often appeal to these men and to their principalities on the basis of coming out from under the authority of the papacy. So, hey, you don't want to be under the Pope. You don't want to be under Rome. You can become a Protestant and you can be freed from that. And of course, they would think, well, this is a great idea. So what they would do then is they would just say, okay, now I am no longer a Catholic. I'm a Protestant and my whole realm is now Protestant. And they would have this sort of collective conversion that would take place, but it wasn't really a conversion at all. Because conversion to Christ is not a collective thing, it's an individual thing, it's a personal thing. And we must personally receive Jesus Christ, the light of the world, if we are going to be delivered from darkness and given the light of life. There's no group of people that I can just jump into the middle of and say, okay, I'm part of this now. Whether it be a church body or a group of friends or family members or anything like that. It comes down to each one individually, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. He or she who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to bring you out of darkness, and he wants to lighten your life. And I know for many of you, you've already allowed him to do that. You have believed in him. You are following him. But if there are perhaps some that have not done that, there's only one way out of the darkness. Let me assure you of that. There's no other way out. Oh, there are false lights. As a matter of fact, God addresses that in the 50th chapter of Isaiah. He speaks to those who would kindle their own fire, is the term he uses, and walk in the spark of their own fire. He says, this you shall have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. You see, man's got these little flickers. It's kind of like a 4th of July sparkler. You light that thing and, you know, you can get some light out of it for a minute or two. And it's sparkling brightly. But, you know, before too long, it's gone. It's over. And men come up with ideas. They come up with theories. They come up with philosophies. They come up with all kinds of different methods by which they can improve their lives or themselves in some way or another. But it cannot possibly, truly, ultimately, ever take them out of the darkness. Jesus is the only way out of the darkness. Lay hold of him. Put your faith in him. Trust in him. Ask him to forgive your sins and to come into your life and begin to follow him. And you will find that you will no longer walk in darkness, but you will indeed have the light of life. And that beautiful transformation, those wonderful kinds of things that have occurred throughout the long history of the church, they will happen right in your life personally. And as they happen in your life personally, you will also be motivated to then share them with others. And you will continue the story of Christ's impact upon the world. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you are the light of the world. Lord, that you have delivered us from darkness. Lord, we were indeed in darkness, and we know that the darkness was in us as well. But thank you, Lord, that you have replaced that darkness with the light of life, that we might follow you closely. Lord, even more closely in these days. Lord, not wandering at all into the realms of darkness, but Lord, walking in the light. Lord, you said through John that if we walk in the light as you are in the light, we have fellowship with you, and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Lord, for that cleansing of sin. We want to be in the light as you're in the light, Lord. We want the light to be in us. We want the light to be emanating from us. And so, Lord, fill us with your life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As Pastor Brian has been sharing with us, the only way out of the darkness of this world is to follow Jesus. And we'll continue with more of this fascinating study through the Gospel of John in our next lesson. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this message, or perhaps you would like to review it again, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Light of the World. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3239. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.